Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 137, part 2, Are We Sincere? Today is Sunday, March 14th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, and we're located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday to register your household for monthly groceries. Be sure to call between 1 and 3 p.m. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. Be sure to join our community online. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at Pastor Paul's blog, where you will find the show notes. You can email me, janine@pastorpaul.org, and in the show notes, you're going to also find scripture links that are within Pastor Paul's messages. Be sure to join us every Friday for part one of Pastor Paul's messages and Sundays for part two. This month, the messages are the following. Go forth without the camp. Are we sincere? Are you in the smoke? The riches of his grace. So there you have it, the month of March. Have a great month and a beautiful spring. God bless you.
Oh, but there's people that wear a mask so long, when they finally take off the mask, there's a blank behind it. Their own face is the mask of insincerity. I mean, all these characters that we've talked about thus far hide behind a mask. Maybe people would ask after they rode away, who was that masked man? But many men of God have worn no masks. Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and David, and Moses, and Elijah. One day he stood right in front of Ahab. Somehow he got by the guard, doesn't say. I don't know how he ever got in. There's guards all over the place. Great big old guys, you know. And he said like this, as the Lord liveth, before him who I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain until it comes by my word. And then he fled. I mean, he took off. He's no dummy. I suppose Ahab thought, well, who was that nut and how did he get in here? Well, I'll bet one thing. I bet all them old belly dancers were flower-faced and flat-footed, sick-bellied quick. And remember also, he was strangely dressed. He wore camel skin, leather girdle, carried his staff, and he probably was wild-eyed, bloodshot eyes probably. And he said his peace and he fled. But I don't think that Ahab was too upset. He probably said, all right, come on, bring on the girls and bring on the grapes and wine. Come on, let's just forget about that bum.
But then the next morning, there was no dew. The next morning, there was no fog, and the next morning, there was no rain. The next morning, there was not even a cloud, even as big as a man's hand. No, there was nothing. Are you hearing this? And it says in the Bible, soon that all the springs dried up. And I think I can hear the king yelling right now, "Hey, water boy!" And all them little laughing brooks, they weren't laughing anymore. They weren't coming down off the mountain. And it says that all of the land was all dried up, dust and weeds and cows bellied up. Something like it is over there in Ethiopia. Something like it's going to be here in this country. Something like it's going to be in Russia. Dry, barren land. $20 for a loaf of bread. Flies and grasshoppers, squeaky barn doors, bam, bam. Oh. Remember going out to Grandma's place? Got out there, and I was only 5 years old, and I went to Mitchell, South Dakota. And this is some years back now. I even went out, and I found it this time, though. Found little traces of my past history. But I went out there, and there was an old barn door that was creaking in the wind. And there's big old tumbleweeds out there in the prairie. Bam! You know, and all those thoughts come creeping back into your mind. But the land was all cracked and dried, and the well buckets were all cracked and dried, and that's what it's going to be like. But then the dust started to blow into the king's palace, don't you know? And they had all them voices outside crying, "Water! Water!" Isn't that happening in the world right now today? Now the king is a little bit excited, and he asks, "Where is that man that came into my presence and said, there will be no dew or rain? Find him, bring him to me." Because you know why? He has the keys to heaven, he can unlock it. And so now they go out and they search the land, and the people take oaths that they are not hiding him. And a year passes. Everything is as dry as Gideon's. Baths? Oh, didn't nobody takes a bath. Victory gardens? No such thing. Chef's salads? No, they're out. Then the second year comes. People start to pack up and they start to migrate and they start to move and they start to get listless and they start to move and they die on their trek. They leave their farms and gold is worth but a penny a pound. There's no such thing as a stock market. Sheep have taken it on the lamb. I mean, everything is bad. Wall Street, there will be no such thing. Then the third year comes. The third year. You know that there's going to be 3.5 years and another 3.5. Just right around the corner. I don't have to conjure up anything. My Lord is right here in the Bible. It's all in. No rain, dogs with the ribs hanging out and their tongues hanging out, running in packs, rat packs and mice from the field coming into town. And a half a year passes. At last, Ahab says to Obadiah, "We must go and find something to keep our beasts alive. They are dying." Now it's hitting home, see? It reached the palace by now.
The king is starting to suffer, don't you see? There's no running water, the toilets won't flush, and no hot baths. Floors needed scrubbing, and the plants are thirsty, and his goldfish are dehydrated. And he says to Obadiah, "You go this way, and I'll go that way, and we'll see if we cannot find some grass for our beasts." And so they started out on their way, the Bible says. But I'll bet the king didn't give any campaign speeches along the way. Now his mouth has been shut up just the same as heaven has been shut up. Somewhere down the line, Obadiah runs into Elijah because the voice of God, see, in the meantime, had spoken to Elijah up there in some other country to go meet Ahab. But I wonder how Elijah felt as he walked back down into his own country. Desolation and people crying. Bones of the people and animals and streams dried up. And we're having that right now, but see, we're not seeing it. That, while I'm speaking right now, is happening. Desolation. Streams dried up and the earth is cracked and it's drying and skeletons are burying the skeletons. And you know what? He passed through, the Bible says, the land. He was a stranger. People didn't even know that he held the rain keys. But Obadiah spots him coming down the road, see? And he says, "Hey, Elijah, are you back? My Lord," Elijah says, "Art thou here? Is it possible? Am I seeing right?" "I am. Go tell your master I am here." And then he says, "What have I done that you want to bring ruin to me? Have you not heard while you were gone how I have taken care of the Lord's prophets, how I have hid them in sections of 50 and caves and kept them so that Jezebel would not murder them?" "Yes, I heard all about that," says Elijah. "Go tell the king that I am here." But Obadiah says, "If I go and tell the king thou art here as soon as I am gone from thee, the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, then it says he will slay me." But Elijah says, "As the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will stand before Ahab today." Well, see, he was afraid that he might get left high and dry, so to speak. But I think it's not very often that subjects send for kings. That's not the normal way of things. But Obadiah says, went, and he says to Ahab, "We have found Elijah." And Ahab, the king, answers angrily, "What did you say, the prophet, the Tishbite, have you found him?" See, now he's getting a little pride. It starts to return, see. Sounds like he wants to show old Elijah who's boss. So Ahab, he dusts off his old clothes and blow dries his hair and says, "Well, you found him." "Yes," he says. "Well, where is he?" "Down the road." "Well, go bring him, fetch him, tell him I want to see him." "Well, he won't come. He told me to come and bring you." Ooh, and now the king is mad. "Well, I will go see him. I would like to see him, and I'm going to see him, and that settles it." How many know that God was humbling old Ahab? You can imagine the king taking off, walking real fast and mad, one sandal strap broken and flapping as he's walking. and his robe is all torn and tattered, crown missing some of the jewels, trying to look dignified, beard all ragged, and he's all dirty and stinky. And he comes to Elijah yelling, "Hey! Art thou the man that has been troubling Israel?" "No," Elijah said, "you are the man." See, there's a whole lot of troublers that don't bring peace. Let me tell you something. I mean, they just don't bring peace. So Ahab wraps these old rags of a robe around himself, and he's got this old sandal, see, that's all floppy and hanging off to the side. He's got an old tuft of hair hanging out over here, and it's all dusty and dirty, and his old crown's got jewels missing, you know, and he looks a mess. And his beard is all ragged and funny looking, and his eyebrows are growing down over his eyes, and oh, man. And then he looks at Elijah, who's well-fed, moist-lipped, perfectly trimmed beard. He looks at Elijah in the face and he says, "You are the man." Elijah says, "You are the man." Brings it back to him. "It is you and your house and your iniquity, it is your sin that brought ruin upon the country. I warned you. But now let us have this thing come to a test and let us find out who is the God of Israel. I'll meet you up on Mount Carmel." Aren't you glad you're under the New Testament? My God, aren't you glad? Put your hands up. My God, aren't you glad? Some people still live under the Old Testament. Did you know that? Ah, they love it. And they never come into the full knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. "But I'll meet you up on Mount Carmel. Bring Israel with you. The test will tell." And Ahab obeys. Messengers are sent from village to village. "Go to Mount Carmel. The true God is going to cause rain." Now, people are real excited. You know why? Their pockets are in trouble. If you want to get people excited about something, you get them excited when their pockets are in trouble and they think there might be some money coming their way. People get excited when you start talking about the money and their business and their billfolds, when their farms are touched. "But how about souls?" says I. I'll bet a whole lot of these people already are starting to plan. I bet they're looking through the Sears catalog. I bet they're already looking at the new fashions, about all they're going to buy when the rain comes. So the people come. You could see them, whirls of dust. They came by the thousands. Lawyers, bankers, and judges, and workers, skid row people, and the prostitutes. They wanted to hear some kind of a prosperity message. 850 prophets. 400 prophets of the grove and 400 prophets of Baal. 450 prophets of Baal. And they moved in one solid line. Get the picture now. One solid line up the mountain. What a sight. Long flowing robes. The prophets of Baal trying to look confident as they climbed up this winding pass. And the people must have been impressed. They had the smell of brute aftershave. It filled the air. And they were just groomed, you know what I mean. Not only that, but with that company, the priest comes Ahab with his escorts and his chariots. I can hear the trumpets now. And here's all these beautiful gowned prophets coming up the mountain. Behind him was all the royal court. Get the picture? Talk about an extravaganza. The influence of the whole royal family was on the side of Baal. The whole nation, to the outward eye, had gone to the service of Baal.
But I wouldn't be surprised if there were some double-minded donkeys in that bunch, and I'm sure there was. There always is play it safe people in the group, fence riders, ready to jump on one side of the fence or the other side of the fence. But the fact is they had all backslidden and left the God of the Bible. And that's what's happening right now. Because people are not sincere. I mean, being sincere is just telling the truth about yourself. Isn't that what our nation is doing right now? Living a lie? Aren't they living a lie in all the nations of all the world? Living a lie. We want peace. And they're arming themselves to the teeth. But many are going over to Baal. Many are doubting God. There's a whole lot of doubting God right now. You know, when a person starts to doubt God, a lot of times they just yell and scream as loud as they can, trying to drown out their doubt. I mean, a doubt comes to everybody. Always. It's always there. Well, one time I started, I said, God, how do you get rid of doubt? And it came to me, I asked that question. You remember how I used to be. I asked that question over and over for, I don't know, months. Remember? I used to just get in and I'd say, now I want to answer that question. I'm going to keep asking until it's answered. And I would ask and ask. I'd get up in the morning, ask the same question all day. Ask, you know, I just keep like a kid. Why? Because why? Because? And on. And you know what God gave me? Finally gave me this. Must have been about a month later. Remember that one time on light, I went for about 6 months on that thing until God gave me an answer and filled the whole room up? That's the way I am. I wanted an answer real bad, but I wanted it to be from the Lord. Oh, God. It drove myself crazy. I think I still am a little bit tense. Calm down. I sincerely mean that.
And God gave me this. He said, if you're such a doubter, doubt. Because doubt is a spirit.
And so after that, I just said, doubt, I doubt you. Well, it set me free. Because God knew that I was going to settle for no other kind of answer. I mean, if you're such a great big doubter that you claim, why don't you doubt doubt? That'd be a big one to doubt. Doubt it.
See, they are on the balances, halting and wavering between two opinions. Oh, Lord, I told this person to come in for counsel. I said, just go ahead and make a decision.
Well, what should I do? Should I do this or should I? I said, you want me to be the heavy in this, huh?
No, I said, you're hauling between the two opinions. Just be honest with God. Tell God what's in your heart. And don't halt there. Do it.
Well, I never thought of it that way. I mean to say, I said, you mean you never thought of telling the truth? Now just, come on, reason for a minute. Isn't that kind of stupid? You see, I said, the whole thing is that we're not sincere. You always have to put yourself in there. Now, come on. And I said, the whole thing is we're not sincere. No, we're not. Now just tell me what's in your heart. Or at least tell God. It never did tell me. Well, I never thought of it that way. Because maybe murder was in the person's heart. Well, person got free.
But they are on the balances, halting and wavering between two opinions. Now the people are wondering if Elijah will be there.
Well, where is he? And all these people are standing there in all these robes, you know, and every once in a while they'll blow the horn for the king. You know, kind of look around, you know. Huh? And now he's all dressed in finery and he's standing up there and looking his best, you know, and all these prophets are up there, you know, and they're standing there trying to look real wise, you know what I mean?
Well, where is he? Is he going to show? I wonder if he changed in 3.5 years, some of the women say. Because we know what these prophets can do. Look at them. Don't they look mighty and powerful and great? But the men, for the most part, they are impressed by the parade of power. And at last, Elijah shows up, alone. What a sight. Camel skin and leather, no brute aftershave lotion on him. And he comes walking up the side of this old mountain, see? And he looks over at the 850 prophets. He has no royal court. He has no flowing gowns. And all you can hear is that old leather slapping on the backs of his kneecaps. Just a shaggy head. Camel skin, leather, and a staff. But he moves up the mountain like some kind of a giant. See, he's been rehearsing this for 3.5 years. Every eye is on him. Nobody's asleep, granted. Talk about a sensational entrance. Now, he doesn't address the king's gang and all the royalty, but he goes right to the congregation and he says like this, "How long have you been between two opinions?" Because they looked like that they were watching a tennis match. Huh? Prophets. And then they would look over at Elijah, back and forth. You know, they were just, you never seen people are just, you know, icky. Like feisty little dogs. They get the fight going between two big ones and they stand back and they go. Huh? So he addressed those people. How long are you going to halt between two opinions? Well, this is like a court case. If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. No sneak previews. Choose right now whom you're going to serve. Let's have this thing decided today. Let the prophets of Baal build an altar right here and let them put, he says, a sacrifice on the altar. And if their God answers by fire and consumes the sacrifice, that settles it. Ooh, man, by this time his old girdle was swinging around. These old leather shoes he had on, you know, they were all bent out of shape and this big shaggy head there, you know. But, he said, if their God doesn't have this happen, and my God does, let him be God. The God that answers by fire, let him be God. And the people said, well, that's very well put. Very well said, Elijah. You can't beat that, can you? And everybody was saying, oh, that sounds fair to me. Fence riders, they were riding on the old fence, you know. Yeah, that sounds fair. What do you think? Yeah, that sounds real good. See, they didn't have nothing to lose because they could jump to either side. Halting between two opinions. Well, he sounds sincere, doesn't he? Sure does to me. And so they build an altar about 9 o'clock. They slew an animal and put him on the altar. And they began at first to cry out after Baal. And they shook and they rolled their eyes and they jumped up and down. But Satan was held. No, Baal, they cried, Baal, Baal, for hours, 3 hours. And you could hear them all the way over to Jerusalem southeast and wailing. Well, man, they were just carrying on like fierce. They were earnest. Now, I've heard people say it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. You just have to earnestly believe in what you believe in. Does that make sense? Of course not. I mean, these 850 men were really sincere. By noon, they were jumping up and down and screaming, it says, and cutting themselves. Baal! Baal! The other gowns were a mess by then. The brute had left them. They were all covered with blood. Some of them had cut off their fingers and their toes, and their toes were wiggling around the dust, and their fingers were jumping around down in there, don't you see? And they had cut their legs all over, you know, and they got into this old Satan thing like they do in these rock and roll groups. Acid. Acid 9. Elijah yells out, he says, cry louder! Maybe your God's asleep! Huh? Yeah, he jeered him. Then he goes on, he says, maybe he's on the toilet. That's what it says in the original Greek. Check it out. Maybe you went on a trip. Huh? Elijah could have said, why didn't he answer the last 3.5 years? What are you trying to prove now? Why didn't you go through all this before? Well, why'd you wait to put on a show now? Now, because you're in a corner now, that's why. You're being challenged. I think we ought to challenge the world once in a while, don't you? What makes you think that I'll give you fire now after 3.5 years of waiting for water? Huh? And it says they prayed until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Reminds me of a little story about 800 years down the line. They got weak. They got hoarse. They got blood caked. Blood was all over them. Caked sweat, grime. Their hair was all over. Man, they looked like demons standing up there. But at 3 o'clock, it was time for the evening sacrifice. And so Elijah, it says, built an altar, and he put 12 stones for the 12 tribes, and he put on wood, and he slew the beast, put him on the altar, and then just to shut their mouths, he did something like this. Go get me 4 barrels of water. And he dug a trench all the way around the altar. He says, now pour the water on. And they did, and these people were standing there looking. Water? Pouring water on. Water's hard to get. Oh. Then he says, bring me 4 more barrels of water. Now they were laughing. Okay. If fire comes, they ain't going to burn nothing up. He's already got it all set to go out. Huh? And so he looks at the crowd and it's an interesting little crowd here. Bring 4 more barrels of water. By now, everything was soaking wet. And so the evening service is about to begin. Every eye is on him. He says like this, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art, if thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done these things at thy word, hear me, O Lord, hear me. that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou art turned their hearts back again. And that's as far as he got, because fire, whammo, came down from heaven. It leads up on the altar, and it burns up the sacrifice, and it burns up the wood, and it burns up all these things, and the people fall down on their faces, and they say, the Lord is God! Boy, they changed their minds in a hurry, didn't they? And all these old prophets, they were crawling down the mountain. Man, they were just crawling. They were crawling down the side of the mountain. So the Bible says, he sent his servant to see if there was any sign of rain. Runs over. Go over there to the side of the mountain, see if there's any sign of rain. And he looks out over there. And the water out there. No. Goes back. Nope. No rain. Well, go on back again and check her out again. So, okay, that was one. Say one. Okay. Nope. No sign. That was what? Two. Nope. No rain. Well, go on back and check it out again. Don't give up. And goes back in. Okay, don't get the man. And goes back out again and looks down over there. No sign of rain. And goes back again. What's that? Okay. And, go on back and check it out again. Hold it. Don't get so mad. Hey. We got the battle won. Didn't you get, hold it. Don't get mad. No sign of rain. And how many is that?
Four.
Well, there's no sign of rain. I tell you, get over there and check it out again, you coward. Get over there. So back over again. He goes over and looks over the side of the mountain again. Goes back over there and he says, now how many is that?
Whew.
Well, I tell you, there's no sign. Get over. You just obey God and get going because it's going to happen. I've seen it happen in my mind's eye. Get over there. And he goes, okay. And he goes back over here and he checks it out. Now, how many is that? Well, that's man's number. Okay. Well, this is the sixth time. This is getting kind of ridiculous. Get over here and check out. Okay. So it goes back over again. And it goes over. Now, what's that?
Seven.
And he looks real hard, and he looks down there, and up out of the sea comes a little cloud like a hand. Wow. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. There's a cloud like the size of a hand out there. Well, that's what I said, he said. That's God, and we're going to have some rain. That hand come up out of the sea. You know what Elijah did? He opened up his umbrella. He put on his raincoat, and he said, Ahab, you better get on your camel and ride. You look bad enough without getting soaking wet. Now, you just better get on out of here. But what brought that hand up out of the sea? A man that was sincere. It says a man of like passions like we have. In other words, he was a sinner. Had the same kind of passions, but he was sincere. And he dared to believe God. Above all the popular opinions, he said, God, your grace is sufficient, and I know you can cause it to happen, and all these legal beagles ain't going to do nothing because they don't believe in simple faith. Some 800 years later, on another mountain, on a mountain far away, on Mount Calvary, was another story. And another sacrifice. Whew. And they said it never would be. But it was. And that's the God that we believe in. Say amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
And the only thing we have to be in our Christian walk, my God, people, is to be sincere. Is that right? It's like a person told me, well, I don't know. I sometimes I feel like I got love, and sometimes I feel like I said, just be sincere. And the person said, well, I really don't believe I have any love. Well, that's sincere. Isn't it? Now, that'd be pretty sincere to say that, wouldn't you? Huh? Maybe you're sitting in here tonight. Maybe you're listening on the radio tape. Maybe you got something against a parent. But you got to be sincere with your own feelings before you can even go on. You got to be sincere. That's where it starts. You know where it'll end? It'll end with you when you deal with your own heart. You're not going to make all perfect decisions. Did you know that? All God asks us to be is sincere and to tell the truth. Well, hey, God knows the truth anyway, so why not tell it? Why fence with the truth? I'm all done doing that. I mean, you know, I mean, you just tell the truth, hey? Right? Be sincere. That's what we're getting into right now. We're going to have to be sincere, aren't we? It's going to be kind of hard for people because they don't want to be sincere. And I venture to say after this, when you write, you listen on the radio, listen to the tape, when you write sincerely yours, from now on, henceforth, and forevermore, you'll always think about that. Sincerely yours. Maybe the person wouldn't want you. If they knew where your sincerities were. Did you hear this message tonight? It's a real simple message. There ain't nothing complicated about it at all. Yeah, it's all by grace. And if you love one another, it's all by grace. You cannot love another person except by grace. Most of all, just learn how to tell the truth. Isn't that right? Is there anybody in here that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior?